Welcome back to the Layover Podcast. What's up? Adam's just laughing hysterically in the back.
You just have so long to prepare for how you want to open this, and then you always are just so scared.
Every time that you start recording the podcast, it's like you were woken up in the middle of the night. Nobody told you you were recording.
I don't have a lot of time to think about how to
open. You had like 2 to 3 minutes where we were sitting here, and you
you were taking us off track into a whole complete... You're distracting from the fact that Michelle just won Jet Lag the game.
What?
Oh, I was going to start this episode of the podcast by congratulating me and Adam for winning Season 8 in case there was anyone who only listened to the podcast and thought I could trick them. But fine.
Stop the steal.
Fine. Good job.
I want someone listening to make a super cut of all of Sam's intros from, like, the past 10 podcasts. Yeah,
inspiring stuff.
Listen, I nailed it this season. I remembered every single episode number, and I didn't even mention that I do remember that this is Season 8, Episode 6, just to prove a point.
You did it.
Well done.
But, Michelle, you've proven that there's 100% correlation between...
gender and success.
Yes.
Yeah. What does that say about society?
We need to close the gender success gap on Jet Lag. We need to get a woman on the show who's going to lose real bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We need to find the worst woman.
Yeah, if you're a very incompetent woman, please reach out. We need you.
Well, I think it's just that, like, you know, when we have a woman on, historically, they're on top of it. And when we have a man on, statistically, half of the time, it's Brian.
Yeah.
That's true.
And what does that say about society?
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I guess we should kind of discuss the final moves because, like, this was ultimately decided in the final moves.
It's
like,
true.
This was anyone's game at the start of this episode.
It's true.
All we had was our plans, but both teams were well within, you know, margin for error. And it really starts and in a way almost ends with the Elvis challenge.
Right. Ultimately, that is what decided the game. We didn't know it at the time.
Although I will say at this point, and this is something we haven't really talked about or thought about, but like, to be honest, even if we hadn't gotten that card stolen from us, we were so fucked that morning in Connellsville that we would have missed the flight that we were going to take anyway.
That's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true.
I like Ben's interpretation.
If we had immediately tried to get a car to Pittsburgh, we had a lot of time before that flight. Remember, we were actually annoyed about how long we would have to wait around for the flight.
The flight was at 10 a.m., right?
Yeah, and the game would have started at 6 a.m., right? So we would have had four.
We got off in Connellsville at like 7.
Yeah, it would have been tight.
I think we could have made it, but I think there's a very good chance that even with our perfect plan and having that not gotten stolen, that we would have been defeated by Connellsville is all I'm saying.
It's true that getting out of Connellsville did prove quite difficult.
I was very surprised to pull up on Google Maps Connellsville and see where you had put yourselves.
It's true.
And especially search rental car and get the answer.
Oh, well, you know, one fun fact that we don't address that didn't make it in the episode is that our backup plan was to walk like 2 miles to a U-Haul rental station and rent a U-Haul one way to Pittsburgh, which you actually can do.
Oh, my God.
That is a good travel tip. If there is not a rental car in your area, there is probably a U-Haul. And that kind of works.
There's U-Hauls everywhere, and they're totally cool with one-way rentals.
Yeah, that was very popular during COVID when there was, like, the massive rental car shortage. And I remember especially Hawaiian U-Haul places were very annoyed with it.
What I will say, I think that we would have been guaranteed to make it if we had just bitten the bullet and walked, like, the 45 minutes to the U-Haul. We would have gotten to the Pittsburgh airport in time.
But we still needed a car card.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah, we wouldn't have had that. Well, that is kind of on us that the day before when we were going to like Lou Malnati's, we should have gotten like an easy car card. But we didn't because we didn't want to tempt fate and have a steal pop up, which as we saw is what happened when somebody did an easy card.
Yep.
Anyways, how did y'all rate your first time on an Amtrak overnight train?
Oh, the overnight train was great. I loved it.
It was actually not my first time. I'd been once as a kid on that exact same train, which was a Capital Limited, right? Yeah. And I mean, I remembered it very fondly as a kid, and I had a great time. I mean, it was really interesting. This is one thing that we didn't really get to include, but like when we went to the cafe car to get dinner, all of the people on this train were like middle-aged to old men who clearly just love and are obsessed with trains.
Aww.
Yeah, 100%.
And that is why they are on this train. It was like a convention in there. They were all just talking to each other. They were like, oh, I saw that train the other day. Yeah, I love trains. I'm not doing a very good job of imitating them, but
yeah. Well, also once they found out what we were doing, they immediately were like brainstorming ways that we could get to Florida. And we were like, no, like you don't understand. There's all these rules. And they kept just being like, well, you could take the Sunset Limited from New York to Florida. And we were like, no, like we can't. But they were very eager to help us, which was very nice of them.
That made me realize what those trains are. Because I was wondering the whole time. I was like, who is booking these?
Right. Yeah.
Like, they're very expensive and so much slower than taking a plane. And they're not exactly like luxurious either. I mean, they're like pretty nice, but it's not like that luxurious. So I think that like those trains are literally just full of people who just love trains so much, which is fun.
Also, in my experience, a lot of like Euros, you get like a lot of like Germans or something around like their long US backpacking trip or something.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to see America. I mean, I've taken it on like 2 or 3 day trips to and from the different coasts a couple times. And I keep trying to find a way to do it again, but I got all this content to make that's getting in the way, but it's a really nice way to see the country. And I think it's probably still the case where the routes east of Chicago, the one night trips east of Chicago, they have the bad food. But if you go west of Chicago, they have the good food. Top tip.
Good tip.
Interesting.
They'll have like chef prepared stuff. Whereas I think east of the Mississippi, it's usually just like reheatable microwave stuff.
That is correct.
Like cafe car style stuff. Go in the west and you can get like a steak and stuff. Anyways, I was also quite surprised how quickly y'all achieved the memorization thing.
Oh, we crushed that.
That was awesome.
It's unfortunate because it ultimately is kind of boring to watch, but it is the most impressive thing that we've ever done on jet lag, is how quickly we did that.
Especially at like 7 a.m.
I feel like that is one of our few discernible skills, is that we're both pretty good at memorizing lists of nouns.
It's true.
So that was made for us.
The problem is that I'm terrible.
And that is why it was on there.
I'm terrible and they know that. And that's why they keep putting it in.
Well, I think the idea behind that challenge was that like in the past, having to memorize stuff has proven funny because we get really frustrated, as we saw with the Okaihau Express and as we saw with the TikTok dance. But in this case, we simply crushed it.
Yeah.
Yep.
We were just in the zone.
Yeah.
We were really in the zone.
You lacked rhythm, though.
It's true. Well, I will say that if we had had to do it at tempo, it would have been much harder. Because when Johnny Cash sings that song, he's moving, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's fine. It wasn't in the rules.
And I didn't know that that song included Shreveport in it. That's where I'm from.
It did.
Guys.
Shreveport shout out.
Shreveport, Louisiana, which is nowhere Johnny Cash or anyone else need to go. But shout out to anyone from Shreveport who may be listening to this or watching the show.
I'm sure that there's at least one person from Shreveport listening.
That's crazy. Well, I went to Catamagnet.
But, I mean, you don't see a whole lot of Michelle and I early in this episode because we're just on a flight. But I think the days of travel were catching up with us, and I think we both had some very, very solid early morning naps on that quick jaunt.
I also want to mention something here, okay? So we recorded episode 5 and 6 after the amazing premiere, which was so wonderful. Thank you to everyone who came and getting to see like the online reaction, which has been so fun. But there is something that does happen on this flight that I just need to address and clarify for everyone. I do not believe in astrology.
Oh, okay? I've seen discourse.
Everybody,
about this.
What? I'm seeing the internet is up in arms, like they're angry about this. It's crazy.
It's been some of the most annoying discourse that I've ever seen, is the people who are mad at you about the astrology thing, to the point at which I almost wanted to like tweet like, everybody shut up about criticizing Michelle, but then I thought it would draw more attention to it.
The subreddit has a new thread about it almost every day. And okay, you know what? We're going to put it to rest. Here's the facts. Astrology is real. Okay? It's real science. I believe in it personally.
Same.
So yeah. If you are on Michelle about this, guess what? That's what I studied in college. Okay. And I can tell you it's real.
Right. Here is my statement on the thing. Well, sorry. Actually, well, Michelle, finish your statement because I feel like we're cutting you off.
No, I...
Statement? That sounds very serious.
Yeah. What do you have to say for yourself, Michelle?
All I have to say is the joke is on everyone else because I don't believe in it. I just thought it was funny. And I thought it would be really funny as like the show itself is already based on the most random series of events and challenges that are inexplicable. And so I thought, I wonder what would happen if I actually like data tracked what astrology says will happen in the game. And will it happen in the game?
And it did.
And again, jokes on everyone else because it did. It literally said that like me and Sam are going to have a beach day. And then we were at the beach later that day, very excitedly winning the game. So again, I still don't believe in it. I just thought it was fun. But also, you can't deny the facts. I don't know what to say.
It's a good point.
It's a really
like,
good
y'all
point.
Are nuts. I can't believe just how upset people are. And also, I'm sorry, Ben, Adam, and Sam.
Don't apologize.
Because I feel like sorry. We all started off on such a great foot with the response here. And now I'm like, oh my God, this is nuts.
I don't think you should be sorry at all.
People just need to chill out.
I think, if anything, we are sorry that some of our fans have been annoying to you about it. My message to the fans is, it's fine. Please chill out about it. Michelle's just doing a bit.
Also, don't do Reddit, kids.
My favorite critiques are the ones that are like, this doesn't feel very scientifically rigorous of the show. And it's like, what show do you think you are watching? What other part of the show has scientific rigor?
And like, I get that astrology frustrates people because it's like, it obviously isn't real. And sometimes like, people do believe in it and make decisions based on it, which is kind of like, you know, maybe not the best. But like, I don't know. It feels pretty clear that it's a bit. It just feels like you gotta.
I thought it was. I guess it wasn't. So I just wanted to clarify.
No, it's not a bit. Astrology is real. And we already addressed that.
But also if it was, just take a freaking chill pill.
Yeah.
Chill out. Just a fun little zany internet show.
Truly chill out.
Yeah, you guys are making fun of Ben's religion, which is not appropriate.
Yeah. Well, not my religion. It's my scientific method.
It's his science. Yeah.
Again, it is what I studied at university.
Yeah. That sounds like something Brown would have.
We actually do have a lot of astrology classes.
Seriously?
Yeah, we do. Don't worry about it.
I wasn't fully joking.
Are you sure? Are you sure they aren't astronomy classes?
No, there were, at least when I was there, astrology classes.
Like about the history of astrology or like what?
I don't know. I mean, I do know because I majored in it, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I almost texted you guys and was like, if you guys want to just remove all of that from the remaining two episodes.
Fuck no.
No.
Please feel free to. I don't want to cause any more issues.
I mean, if you would like us to, we obviously will, but I think it's fun.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
No, you don't negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah, absolutely. I refuse.
Anyways. Okay, so we finally unveil our perfect and believable plan. That's exciting.
Yeah.
It is a pretty good plan.
Hate to admit it.
I was pretty pleased.
And one thing that I do want to mention, because it is not like outrageously clear in the episode that this is the case for a few reasons, but like fundamentally the reason that Ben and I were so confused about where you were and the whole time we like thought that you guys couldn't finish your route. And it is all because you had an extra flight that we didn't realize you had because you had driven to Montrose and then flown out of there to Dallas instead of doing what we thought, which was fly to Denver, drive to Colorado Springs, and then Colorado Springs to Dallas. So we thought you had used the random flight to do that, but you hadn't. And that was the way that you were able to do this without us realizing it was possible.
Yeah, I mean, it is worth a point that, like, from your perspective, we just appear in Dallas, and you have no idea what happened for the entire, like,
right,
24 hours before that.
Well, and then after Dallas, you just appeared in Key West.
That's true, yeah. Which has to have been confusing.
When you called us, I was like, oh, okay, they like did a challenge and they're going to show up. You know, maybe they're in Florida at this point or something, but you got us.
Anyways, we get to Birmingham. Is that right? Birmingham?
Yes. You went to Alabama.
I can't remember because I think I said like, welcome to Huntington. And you're like, we're in Birmingham or the
yeah,
opposite.
You say welcome to Huntington and then you're in Birmingham.
I was so confused.
Well, part of what confused me is like we went through a bunch of different permutations of roughly the same plan. We looked at like Birmingham, Montgomery, Huntsville, maybe Chattanooga, like a bunch of other things that were within spitting distance of Atlanta. So that's why I think we were confused and I couldn't fully remember where I was either.
It was a long week.
Yes. And this was like peak discombobulation moments of like, I don't know where I am. I don't know what's happening kind of thing. I had never been in Alabama, in fact. It was one of my last unvisited states. I think that, and I know this is really weird, Wisconsin is one of my last states. So I could have almost gotten there.
You haven't been to Wisconsin?
I know. Isn't that weird? It might actually legitimately be my last state. I need to go through and check.
We go to Wisconsin in this season.
I remember in the show. But yeah, that was exciting. The interstate just looks like interstate. What else? I mean, honestly, like, I feel like so little actually happens on our side, Michelle, these last two episodes, just because, like, we're executing on the plan. It's, like, just it.
Oh, don't make it sound like that, Sam. We were working hard the whole time.
We were. But I don't know. I just feel like I have a lot less to say than I did in earlier episodes.
Well, I mean, I will say that when we got to that plane, the plane to Key West, and every single seat on this plane was booked, except for the two on either side of me. And I have no clue how I ended up like assigned to a middle seat and there was no one on either side of me. I was so convinced. I was like looking over the seat like, Sam, what if they booked? Like I was like whisper yelling to him across the plane, like waving at him. And I was terrified. I was like, Ben and Adam, they will find their way on this plane.
Well, and in fairness, I mean, as we see in the episode, like there was a possibility that we would.
Anyway, so not a ton to say. We had a pretty straightforward drive. Another moment of just like, let's book the flight as soon as humanly possible once we get to Atlanta in case I get sold out or something. And we go through hell on earth in Atlanta Airport and get to the gate. And then again, like there's just so like at this point, it was just like a normal travel day with extremely high stress of what are Ben and Adam doing, at least for me. And y'all are in Uberland, I guess.
Well, yeah. Well, you guys were having like a pretty straightforward day of like, we're going to fly here and then we drive here and then we get on a plane. And that's what you did. Over where we were, it was a very different situation.
It was a long, long day. It was a long, long day. Yeah.
I mean, as we attempted to claw our way back into the game after we lost our perfect plan. And what I'll say to our credit is like, we got pretty close considering where we started that day. Like, I mean, we were in Atlanta Airport at the same time as you.
That's crazy. I didn't realize that until watching the episode.
Like, there's a small window of time where both teams are in Atlanta Airport.
Yeah. And I will admit that I went into that last day thinking, there's no shot.
Yeah.
Like, this is over.
Well, because the other thing was we knew that like the day five tickets were not very good. Like by design, they made it hard to get into Florida and stuff. And like that freaked us out. But anyway, in Connellsville, I mean, I would say things felt like they started to turn around for us when we got the flight to anywhere but Florida. Because that was like a pretty powerful ticket. And also the fact that we got it meant that you guys didn't get it, which at the time for us, when we thought that you had flown to Denver, we were like, well, without this ticket, they have no way to Key West. So at the time, we were even more excited to get it. But like, even still,
yeah,
getting that was pretty big.
But ultimately, what proved a lot harder was getting a car. I mean, oh God, we went through a couple more challenges, both of which also proved harder than they should have.
Yeah.
Shout out to...
Oh my God, the popcorn?
Yeah, the popcorn. I mean, it was very fun. It was such a small Pennsylvania town. I remember when we went to go buy the stuff to to pop the kernel of popcorn. And Adam gave her...
I had to show my ID.
His ID. And she was like, wow, New York. And it was like, oh, man, we are in a small town. People do not say, wow, New York, if you are in Philadelphia.
No. But yeah, we simply could not get the kernel of popcorn to pop. We had seen, what's the lady's name? Pinky Doll or whatever, who does the thing where she puts it in the hair straightener.
Ice cream, so good.
And it pops the popcorn.
Gang.
Have you seen this, Michelle?
I thought it was a really smart idea. I have not seen that, but I was like, wow, that was really smart.
It simply did not work. And the lighter didn't work. And then, I mean, I don't know if you saw it in the episode, but ultimately we just hand it to the lady and ask her to go to the break room and she puts it in the microwave. It was the only way we could do it.
Would have been a lot faster.
And then I also don't know if this made it in, but then we gave her the hair straightener that we had bought. We were like, do you want this? And she was like, sure.
Yeah. And then it took a long time for us to find graffiti because that town was very clean.
Yeah, weirdly so clean.
Credit to Connellsville. But we did eventually find a sinister tunnel with all manner of graffiti. But then, honestly, the hardest part of getting out of Connellsville was just finding a car. Like, we had to gloss over it a little bit in this episode just because nothing was happening. But we were there for a while trying to get a car. And this didn't make it in, but I had finally found a car service a couple towns over in a town called Mechanicsville, which is such a good Pennsylvania town name.
Very good.
So that guy was going to send a car to us to take us to the Pittsburgh airport. But then just before that happened, an Uber popped up.
Well, and it was interesting because the Uber driver, like we talked to him and he was like, yeah, I'm the only Uber driver in Connellsville.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, like I saw that you would requested a car and I was like, oh man, they must have been waiting around here for a while. Cause like this guy like knew he was the only person driving Ubers that would be in that town.
I mean, it's such a weird thing that like if you get off the train in that town, like it's very hard to get out. Like there are not rental cars. Like getting out of that town is hard. It's really hard.
I mean, you brought up earlier the question of like who are on these Amtrak trains, and you know, the other answer is like the fact that they're the only form of public transportation to quite a lot of small towns across America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
It's kind of by design.
Well, like the other thing though that was frustrating was like we were by a highway. Like we walked to the highway to try to get an Uber, and even that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It was wild. But anyway. We made it. And then we got to the airport. And also, it's worth talking about what happened at the Pittsburgh airport because we had to cut some of that out just for the cleanness of narrative. But like, we try to book on the Atlanta flight, which you see, and they tell us like, no, there are no tickets. And so then we asked them about standby and they said like, it's not likely. Then what you see in the episode is that we just try on standby and it works. But what actually happened was we accepted that it wasn't going to work. And then we tried to book on the flight to Charlotte, which left like a little bit later. And then that was sold out. And then we like went to the gate. And then the guy who was like the ticket agent at the Pittsburgh airport for American, which had the flight to Charlotte, was like a jet lag fan. And we like went up to him and we were like, hi. And he was like, oh my God, it's you guys. And we were like, yo, please help us. We were like, can you get us on this flight? And he was like, no. He was like, I'm so sorry, but I cannot do it. And then we went back to the Delta people and we were like, well, I guess we're totally screwed. So let's just book on the later Atlanta flight at like 4 p.m. and we'll try to get on standby for the one, but we know it won't work. And they were like, okay. And then they put us on standby and we basically were trying it just like because we figured we had no other option. They seemed sure it wouldn't work. And then we got to the gate and the lady was just like, oh, great. Are you the standby ones? Here's your ticket. Like, no problem. You're on the flight.
That was after I got rejected by TSA in the last minutes, which must have just been because of all the weirdness with booking earlier.
We also on our side, we got rejected from TSA twice.
Mm-hmm. Really?
In a quite equal manner because I messed up Michelle's date of birth once, and then Michelle messed up my date of birth once. So it was great. So we like equaled each other's mistakes out.
Yes.
Neither time was a real issue, but the hurried booking will do that. But on the standby thing, like in my personal travel, I have never unsuccessfully gone on standby.
Yeah.
They like always make a big deal about like, oh, it's so unlikely. And then like every time I've done it, I've made it.
Yeah.
Which has not been a huge amount, but like it like feels like they're always way more skeptical than reality. I guess they want to manage expectations.
Mm.
I think it's a conspiracy because they tell you they're like, no way. And then it works.
Yeah.
I think that they just don't want people doing this because it would be chaos.
Yeah. I bet when you guys were in Salt Lake City trying to get to Denver and you asked about getting on standby and they were like, yeah, I don't think it's going to work. I bet that if you had just been like, no, we want to get on standby, they probably would have let you on.
Yeah. I mean, I considered it. But the problem was we would have had to use our ticket
for
a flight that ultimately would have been worthless.
Yeah, risk it.
Yeah. So it wasn't worth that level of risk.
I agree that it was the right strategic move not to do it. But it is interesting that like they probably would have just let you on the plane. It seems like it works every time.
No, I mean, like they'll let you do it. Like by policy, I think it's like totally an option you can always do. But yeah, I think you have to be insistent and confident. Anyway. So yeah, once again, not a ton to report from our side because we just like board our flight, as Michelle said. I feel like to a certain extent, Michelle, you had trouble, and to an extent I did too, dealing with the fast reducing amount of risk and the fact that like we were actually seemingly going to win it. And it was kind of increasingly clear with every minute that went on. And I understand why, because same thing happened to me, but like, I felt like you were feeling like Ben and Adam would just like pop out from the lavatory in the plane or something.
Because they could.
Could they?
They really could. Have you seen these guys in action? They're unstoppable. That's why I was scared.
I don't know about that.
They are.
I mean, I've experienced that too, especially in games where you're being chased. Like, I remember in Capture the Flag, when we finally won, I was like so sure that Sam was gonna like pop out and like take a picture of me. Like even like after it was clear that we were going to win.
It's very high stress.
It's very hard to accept it happening. But I mean, I will say on our end, I mean, we were so close to getting the dice roll. I mean, I guess we weren't that close. I don't know if you've seen the footage, but when I did it, I slow-mo the roll and you can see it lands on five.
And then it rolls over.
Which was enough to get us to Key West. And then it rolls over to a three.
Ugh, man, that was nuts. And then especially the fact when we got on the plane, as I mentioned earlier, every seat was filled except the ones on either side of me. And I was so prepared for like a sitcom moment when both of you guys would come and literally be seated next to me. Like, I was imagining all these scenarios of, like, they're going to come. It's going to be this big moment. And then the worst part is I can't even strategize with Sam while they're sitting here on our exit plan to get off the plane. When you have time to think, does your mind wander?
Well, I guess that also goes to show that that flight was not sold out.
It was not sold out.
Because this is one other thing that we do not really touch in the episode, but there were so many sold out flights that day.
Especially to Florida. Yeah.
Especially to Florida.
Because I think that there had maybe been like a cancellation or something. And so there were a lot of people trying to get to Florida. Like I remember there were like a dozen people on standby for some of the flights.
Yeah.
Like Atlanta was crazy that day.
Atlanta's always crazy. That's why it's hell on earth.
Horrible vibes. Horrible vibes at that airport. It's not good.
On another episode, when we have more time, I want to pitch a fight against all the people who argue that Delta is the best. Because the problem with Delta is you have to go through Atlanta for everything. And Atlanta's hell on earth.
Which airline is the best, Sam, right now?
Well, very controversially, it's United. And I understand that the Delta heads are going to be very annoyed by that. It's clearly not American.
Whoa.
But the Delta people, they're going to at me. They're going to be mad. But at another time, I can do my full PowerPoint presentation of why they're wrong. It stems from route network, frequent flyer program, the fact that you have to go through Atlanta, and other things. But anyway, Delta's good.
Maybe that can be one of our off-season episodes.
Perfect.
Is Sam gets to explain everything he wants to explain.
A 50-minute thesis on why Delta is good, but not quite as good as all of the people argue that it is. Anyway, so we get to the thing.
It's true.
Yeah.
Ah!
I mean, you see that we get a rental car. Of course, that took some time, but we knew that we had the time. So it's like, okay, let's get a rental car.
And that counted as local transportation, right? So you didn't have to use a ticket.
Yeah, Key West is small.
Yeah, it counts as local.
And Sam didn't know that we got a convertible.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting to get the convertible.
It was perfect vibes. Yeah.
Yeah, that route.
The real reason I got it is because I knew that I'd want to drive to Miami the next day. So it was just logistics kind of. But yeah, and we drive to the spot. We pay $15 for parking and that's it. Like, we're there.
It was very exciting. It was very, very exciting. I was in total disbelief. Like, literally up until the very moment when I touched the thing, I was like, you know what? Ben and Adam, they could have like hired a space rocket. Like, I would not put it past the two of you.
Not legal under the rules.
Sure, but I was like, it ain't over till it's over. And it was really exciting. It is a cute little nub thing that is there.
Yeah, there was that awkward moment where we saw like a 20-person deep line and we were like, you can't cut the line. But on the other hand, I need to touch the thing to lock in the victory. So we just like kind of, it's awkwardly, you know, like, oh, quick touch. Okay, bye. And then go across the street. The other small behind the scenes thing, the reason why we didn't really hang right by the thing. I don't even know what it is. The southernmost point marker that's actually technically not even the southernmost point in the continental US because it's actually on the, like, the Navy base right next door, but you can't get to it. Anyway, that has a pretty famous webcam.
Oh, yeah.
Like, of the marker and of the ocean there. And I knew that a lot of people were speculating since we started in Ukiavik that we would end there. And I did not put it past jet lag fans to have just been constantly watching the webcam. So I wanted to make sure that we were outside of the view of the webcam so that people wouldn't like spot us, record it, and spoil the ending. So that's part of the reason why we're filming across the street.
Sam, you're basically Taylor Swift. Like,
pretty much.
People know your every moment and every move.
Mm.
I would truly put myself on a similar level in all manners to Taylor Swift. Come at me, Swifties.
Don't joke about that. They'll kill you.
I know. I know. I respect Taylor Swift fully.
I mean, have you guys thought about the near future when y'all are so famous, you're going to have bodyguards going through airports with you to successfully do this? Sam, you're going to have to charter 3 private jets, one for each of you, to actually pull off a season without getting mobbed.
Well, Ben is very strong and he will protect me.
Yeah, actually, technically, I am Adam's bodyguard.
Yeah.
That's technically my job for Wendover Productions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what we have in Gusto for his job title.
I'll be Sam's bodyguard then.
I will say, for what it's worth, just an interesting thing from a game design perspective, like, it was very narrow the ways that you could fly directly to Key West. I think there were only like a few tickets that let you fly from like, especially like out of the state to Key West. It was like the 1,000-mile flight west where you'd have to start somewhere kind of weird. The neighboring state one, and then like, I think there was like one other way, maybe. Oh, if you had gotten it, the dice roll. But otherwise, like, the last day's tickets were designed to basically force you to go into Florida first and then get to Key West.
Yeah.
But the huge advantage that you guys had, which I think is not to be overlooked, is you had the neighboring state flight, which you get early in the game, because I think it's like a day 3 ticket. And the only way you can use that to get to Key West is if you save it to day 5, which, like, you know, would be pretty unlikely for people to do, but you guys were able to do it because you had stolen it.
Yes.
This was a change that we made because people got very upset in Battle for America about stealing back stolen cards, swapping back swapped cards. So we instituted a rule that you can't steal back stolen tickets.
And how do you feel about that now, Team Ben people?
Really wished that we had not made that change, because that was what was so brutal, is that we knew that we couldn't even steal back your useful cards. Because we were like, your 2 most useful tickets are most likely if you kept it, the 1,000-mile flight west or the neighboring state. But both of them, we couldn't steal from you. So we just like didn't even worry about trying to get steals. We just were like, we just have to beat them there.
Yep.
It is so messed up that you stole one of the best tickets in the game and then threw it away.
Yeah, that is really messed up that you did.
Oh, so brutal for us.
That sucks.
So brutal for us.
Yeah. It was also really lucky, ultimately, that, like, you might remember originally we were planning on getting out of Dallas using the neighboring state card to get to New Orleans.
Which would have been a terrible move, and I was really...
Yeah, we could have originally gotten there by the end of day four, and intuitively it feels like, okay, the fastest you can get the furthest east is the thing to do. But of course, ultimately, a lot of that research time was focused originally on, okay, what do we do out of New Orleans? And the answer was that there wasn't a whole lot of good stuff.
No.
Like, we saw that we could get to, like, Pensacola instead. So we were, like, looking at a Pensacola for a while because we were thinking, like, okay, once you're in state, it's going to be easier. But Pensacola is very far from Key West, even though it's in the same state. So, like, we kind of finished that lead and we looked at all sorts of different stuff until this plan came together. So it was lucky that we didn't, like, jump the gun and, you know, go with that plan. We spent all that research time. But yeah, so behind the scenes, I was trying to make sure as best as possible that y'all were not airborne when we got to the marker.
Right.
So that you'd be able to receive the call just so that we had good content. And on my mind, I was like, okay, but how much do I want to tell them? Because I didn't want to spoil the fact that we were about to win, but I also wanted for you to be available. So I was trying to tell you, like, okay, just wait to board your flight if you're about to board a flight and stuff like that. It seemed like ultimately you were still pretty surprised. I think, Ben, you said earlier that, like, you thought that was just going to be a big challenge win or something, right?
Well, again, because we had assumed that Denver thing so long before, we just didn't believe it was possible at that point for you to have gotten there. We were just like, we've looked at all of your possible routes with the tickets we thought you had, and we were just like, they couldn't be in Key West right now.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I think your best route to Key West would have gotten you there at like 10 or 11 p.m. So there has to have been a bit of relief that it was over, right?
We would have gotten there quite late. I would not call it relief. We still thought we had a good shot of winning. We were like, I don't know, I guess we'll get there late, but like, whatever.
Yep.
Because we were like, there's no possible way they can get there. We were like, they don't have the tickets. So like, I don't know what's going on over there. We were like, I guess they'll have to drive. And so we were like, well, you know, we'll see. But I will say, it turns out that they'll just let you off of a plane. We were on the plane and we were like, I guess we're going to Sarasota. And then sort of like offhandedly, we were just like, I wonder if they'll let us off. And we were like, sure, they wouldn't. And we just said to the flight attendant, we were like, hey, can we get off the plane? And they were like, let me ask. And then they were like, yeah. And I was like, okay, great. And then they sent us off the plane. And then like, the dude who like stood like just off the plane, who I guess they hadn't told, we like just like rolled by and we were like filming ourselves. We were like, they let us off the plane. So we're going. And the dude was like, what are you doing? Stop right now. And we were like, what? And he was like, what's going on? And we were like, oh, they told us they can get off the plane. And he was like, I don't know. And then he was very, very upset with us. But ultimately he did let us off the plane, which was good.
Yeah.
Fab.
Yep. So, Michelle, how would you describe the moment of victory and realizing it was all over and that you won and that you had just come from the other side of the nation, very large nation, in 4.5 or 5 days? Like, how would you describe whatever it was, like 5:15 p.m.? No, it was earlier than that. It was like 3:15 p.m. or 4:15. I don't remember. That exact moment of arriving at Key West. Or specifically the marker.
It was absolutely thrilling. I have been really privileged to experience what it feels like to like cross the finish line, like training for a marathon or like a race or hitting a milestone. Like Sam, I know you know the feeling of hitting a million subscribers, like those types of feelings, they are of the same genre of unforgettable life moments that like just feel like such a privilege in life to experience. And this was definitely in that category for me.
Oh.
It was so wonderful to get to do. And yeah, like how bizarre to start at the top of Alaska and by way of the most unique path possible, make it to Key West just a few days later. It was really, really special. And honestly, I learned so much from you guys getting to do this. First of all, I became a much better traveler. I did not tell you guys this, but the truth is before jet lag, I was not the best traveler in terms of like,
whoa.
I just was one of those people who like overpack. You get to TSA and none of your shit's out. Like that was a version of me. And I knew going into this, I was like, okay, this is my time to get my life together and like buy organizers and mini versions of all the shampoo and stuff. And I just want to say from my entire team, like our production team who travels with me, they're like, thank you, jet lag, because now everybody gets annoyed because whenever we travel, 3 days before, I'm like, guys, I'm packed. And they're like, well, we're not. Now I'm packed ahead of everybody else. And that's very exciting.
Jet lag hasn't taught me that skill.
No, nor I. Pack at about 10 p.m. the night before.
I usually start 15 to 20 minutes ahead of time.
I mean, what would you say? Because you had watched, I know, at least a decent chunk of the show before being on it. Like, what would you say was different from or that you learned, like, being on the show versus watching the show? Like, surprised you or that was different or, like, what was that, you know?
I think one of the biggest differences for me was when you're watching the show and time passes in one of the planes. And you don't see too much of what happens on the plane because it's not appropriate to always film on the plane, obviously, in public. But I always thought like, oh, they're on a flight for 3 hours, or when you're circumnavigating, you're on the flight for 12 hours. That's kind of an opportunity to rest. And it really isn't.
Nope.
Sam said this to me, and obviously I know you guys have said this in other recordings, is just that you're always on. And it really is. You are always on. And I just think like life experiences like this are so special and important, because it makes you realize how much you can accomplish when you are focused.
Mm.
I know like Ben and Adam, you guys were talking in episode 5 about how, man, it's 9 a.m. and we've already done all of these things just because we woke up a few hours early. And I know it's like meant as a joke and like the game never stops, but also coming off this life experience, it also like kicked my own ass into gear of like, you know what? I can do a little bit more every day for myself, for my health and wellness, for my business. So I appreciate that. I just think like getting to do something like this is once in a lifetime, unless there's an all-star season. And hopefully now, hopefully now I can be on all-stars.
We just need more all-stars, to be honest.
Yeah. That's on Sam. Sam, create some all-stars.
Well, I don't know. We've got 3 now. You know, 3's a good number. You could pair up 3 and 3.
That's true. That's true. So I know that one thing people are always interested by is what happens after the cameras stop roll. That sounds weird, but what happens after we finish the season? I don't know why people always like the what happens immediately before and what happens immediately after. I mean, Michelle and I had a delightful dinner, and I mean, part of the idea of finishing this in Key West is we knew it'd be a delightful spot to finish.
It sucked so bad that we didn't get to go to Key. I like wanted to go because I've still never been to Key West. Well, you know what really sucked? Is like, I had told all these people about the season, and then afterwards they were like, oh, how is Key West? And I had to be like, it was great.
It's so nice there. Actually, we almost got on a flight to Key West to come meet you guys at the end, because right after we got off the plane, there was a flight to Key West leaving in like 20 minutes, and we were like, we can do the thing again. But they were not.
And we almost did.
Yeah.
Like if we had gotten there like 10 minutes earlier, we would have gotten on it.
I was really hoping to get to see you guys. I was actually really sad. I was like, dang, that moment in Ootikiagvik when we were running away from them on the beach in an approaching blizzard. That was the last time I got to see Ben and Adam until the premiere, which I was very happy to see you guys again.
That's how it be.
We were thrilled to see you at the premiere, Michelle.
I realize that it's sometimes weird, the working relationship with Ben and Adam, where it's like, you know, being like, you know, Tokyo, and it's like, all right, see you next week. And then like, we'll like see each other on the other side of the world and just be like, hey. It's like so casual.
Yeah, no, it is always funny. Like I'll be like Sam said, like in like Tokyo or something. And I'll just like, Sam will just walk up to me in a hotel and be like, hey, what's up guys? And it's like, oh, Sam's here. Great. Like, it's just so normalized now.
Yeah.
Cause also like sometimes we'll go like 2 months without seeing you in person sometimes cause we live in different places and it'll be like, you know, I won't see you for a while. And then I'll see you like in Paris or like Ootikiagvik. And it's like, oh, hey man.
Yep. But, you know, that's what a lot of travel does.
But Michelle, I was very sad that we didn't get to see you again, but it was great to see you for the premiere. And the good news is that now, you know, we're allowed to be friends for life and we're going to hang out all the time.
Yay! But yeah, after the cameras stopped rolling, I feel like we came back to reality. We took a few pictures at the stump.
Yep.
And then it was this moment of like, okay, what do you want to do now?
Well, we had to wait around a while for Ben and Adam to get into a spot where we could kind of finish filming the last bits. So we kind of just like wandered around. We got a pina colada and that was it. But then, yeah, we had a nice little dinner.
Yeah, which I did not have very much of because I was still well in recovery from the few days prior.
Yeah, fair.
Which is hard to remember when you watch things every, you know, week apart from each other. But yeah, all of this that you guys have been watching for the past 6 weeks happened in 5 days for us.
Yep.
People always forget that. People will say stuff to me where they'll be like, isn't it hard like being away from home so often? And I'm like, I'm only away from home for like 5 or 6 days every like 3 months. Like I'm actually like barely gone at all.
Yep.
Cause like, I think it's just really hard for people to wrap their head around just how quickly we film these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how much content you
right.
make with that. It's amazing. So yeah, we had a waterfront dinner and then we watched the sunset with a huge crowd of people. I guess in Key West, the sunset is an event. It was gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. It's called like Sunset Point or something. Like you see it on Google and it's called like Sunset Point.
Whoa. That's
and they cute. Had like music and stuff. It was nice.
Yeah, we filmed some of that, but it didn't make the episode, understandably.
Well, Ben and I had an awesome time at the Atlanta airport.
I mean, Ben and Adam, you managed to get home that night, right?
We did, yeah. We just hopped on a plane straight back to New York.
It's truly New York privilege.
It's true. Yeah, well, because Atlanta's such a hub. Well, it was great. I like texted my girlfriend and I was like, hey, I'm actually going to be home in like 5 hours.
Yeah, that was a bit of a relief.
Yeah, I had a very long travel day home myself the next day because I had to drive 4 hours to Miami. Mm-hmm. And then I flew to Denver in the midst of a big snowstorm and then to Grand Junction where Michelle and I, we had driven through just like 3 days prior because that's the nearest reliable airport when there's a snowstorm going on. And then I had to drive 2.5 hours from there back home. And then the flight was massively delayed. So anyway, it was like a good like 14, 16 hour travel day back for me. But it was nice to get back.
Well, Michelle, I'm curious for you because we've talked about this before. Like, I think for us sometimes it's like we'll finish a game and like moments afterwards we'll be like, wait, what was all of that about? What were we doing? Because like you have this like period of like 5 days where like it's all that you are focused on and thinking about. And it's so intense. And like every moment you're like working through like all the possibilities of what you could do, all the possibilities of what the other team could do. Like you guys, there's a million things in your head that are like, you're so focused and locked in and you're like sleep deprived. And then like the moment it ends, you're like, what's been happening? Like it all like melts away. Like, did that happen for you?
The way you just described it, it's very accurate to my experience, at least, where you feel like you're in a vortex. And I also thought, I think a misconception I had was, I thought that because, you know, the games are often modeled after game styles we're familiar with.
Uh-huh.
I thought it would kind of feel like a slower game night.
Oh, wow. No.
Like a game that you could play, meaning like, oh, we can rest a little on this plane because this is our one move around the table of the board game, if you will. But it was not like that at all. So I was wrong. I never thought it would be slow.
Yeah, it's infinitely optimizable. So like right. if you want to compete to the level that Michelle does, there is always something you can do to, you know, get that next little advantage.
Oh my God.
Right.
Sometimes I think back to the early seasons when we just like hadn't yet realized how optimizable the games were.
Right.
They were much chiller.
Yeah.
We were much more willing to like go get lunch or something in those seasons.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, also even to that end, like I've seen some comments where people are like, how is Michelle like that blasted in episode 4? It's because I think that piece of bread I ate at Costco was the first proper thing I ate that day, which is not the fault of the show. Let me be clear. I claim full responsibility. Nebula and Wendover Productions are not responsible for my lack of eating that day. It was completely on me. But that is why I'm so blasted.
That match cut, which I have to give credit to Jack McCall, who is an editor that we work with, who saw the opportunity for that. But matching you eating the bread to Ben putting the microphone in his mouth is like one of the greatest cuts of all time on the show. Have you seen that cut, Michelle? Where you're putting the bread in your mouth and it cuts to Ben and he puts the microphone in his mouth? Or no, I think it's the other way around. Oh my gosh, I love that cut so much. But yeah, no, it's crazy. It's like, I feel like there's a weird thing where like a lot of times stuff on like YouTube, you assume it's sort of like oh, it's like this thing happened and they're kind of like stretching it out to like fill the show. But if any, it's like the hard part of jet lag is like cutting it down. And like there's a ton of complexity to the game under the hood that you can't even fully get your head around when you watch the show. Cause like the show would be far too long and complicated if we had to include all of the planning. But like the games are designed very intentionally to be so open-ended. I mean, the simplest way to think about it is like, because we design the games, they have to be designed with enough like randomness and like optionality that like they aren't solvable, which means that like there's a ton of open-endedness and like options when you do stuff. Like you just can always be like looking and looking and looking at more things.
Yeah. 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 It doesn't end.
Yep. But this podcast does.
No. Whoa.
Incredible transition.
Thank you. But what I also just realized is that our dear listeners, they know that we've kept a secret from them.
Oh, yeah.
And we're so sorry. And we are so very sorry for that.
I forgot they do know that now.
They know. Yeah. And this is the first time that we can actually talk about this publicly, that just before Christmas, Ben and Adam and I went on a little trip to go film Jet Lag Switzerland.
Yeah.
Woo, 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 woo. Yeah, so what an end. What an end to the season, and what an exciting teaser for season 9 Switzerland.
Yep.
Also, Ben always has the coolest outfits. He went swag with the white.
Yeah.
I loved it.
The white jumpsuit that I wore.
It was camouflage.
That was the intention. I wore a white jumpsuit the whole game, and as you'll see, by the end of that season, it gets fucking destroyed.
Oh, no. Wow. I have so many questions, but I feel like they're all going to be spoiler related. So I'll just have to wait patiently with everyone else for season 9.
Yep. But yeah, we can't wait for y'all to see it. It's the first time we've done winter jet lag. Of course, we got some winter in here, but this is the first time we've done a season fully within kind of a winter environment. It's very vibey. Switzerland is incredible. And the game is unique, is what I'll say.
It's a really interesting one. Yep. Yeah, I think people are really going to like next season.
Yeah, it's a slightly different vibe.
Yep.
You know, we mixed it up a little bit.
Anyways, Michelle, in your last appearance on the Layover podcast for now, do you have any parting thoughts?
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you to everyone who has watched this whole time for being a part of it all and making it happen and welcoming me with open arms as a stranger to this world. I really, really appreciate it. It was such an honor. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Michelle. Unfortunately, the kind of final moments of official jet lag competitor duties, it's worth acknowledging how big of a time commitment it really is. Let's see, like we were first doing prep calls 3 or 4 months ago. And, you know, there's been stuff off and on since the filming, and you came all the way out to New York for the premiere and all sorts of stuff. So it's no small time commitment. So we really appreciate you coming on our little show. And especially playing such a competitive game, it certainly brought a level of energy that was much needed on this team. So definitely appreciate that.
What was it that you said at the beginning, Michelle, that like you needed to drag Sam's ass across the finish line? And you did it. You did do it.
No, I didn't say I needed to. I said, if it comes down to it, I will. And I didn't need to at all. In fact, Sam was pulling me along many, many times, especially in episode 4. Yeah. So thank you, Sam. Sam was a fantastic partner.
Well, mostly because you were blasted. But, yeah.
And I look forward to the All-Star season, for real.
What was the, oh, I just found it. The tweet that your husband Garrett liked, like the first day that we started filming, which was, Nebula saw Sam was lacking, so called in a bad bitch to help him out. I'd be so scared if I was Batum. It turned out we were right to be scared.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll echo what Sam said. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Michelle. It is a huge time commitment. I can only speak for myself, but it meant a lot to me that you wanted to do it. I've told you this before, but I'm just a huge fan of your work. And so it like is very cool for me personally that like you wanted to come on our show and do it. And it was very exciting. And you were an incredible guest. I think I've told you this before, but I remember the first day we were editing, Ben was like plugged into his laptop editing. I like overheard him talking to Jack, and he was like, yeah, the only problem with Michelle is that every line she says is good. And I was like, yeah, she's a pro.
She's a pro.
Anyway, thank you for coming on the show.
Yep.
It rocked that you were on our show.
Thank you, guys.
Well, I'd like to officially welcome everyone to the off season.
Everyone's least favorite time of year.
Everyone's favorite time.
Oh, favorite time. Right.
Favorite time. Most favorite. Yeah. So we will be back on the Layover podcast. We'll be on the off season schedule, of course. So every 2 weeks. So we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.